Word of God in our Sunday morning series of studies in the New Testament in the Gospel according to St. John, where we have reached the last chapter, chapter 21, and we read from verse 15 down to verse 22. John's Gospel, chapter 21, at verse 15, the earlier part of the chapter tells the story of how the disciples went out fishing, and they fished all night and they caught nothing, and then in the morning as they came to the shore, they found none other than Jesus waiting there to receive them, to speak to them, to provide for them, and to bless them. And they had a breakfast together on the shore. And so we take up the story at verse 15 of chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But throughout this passage, there's different words for love, so we've got to change it a little. Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I'm your real friend." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I'm your true friend." And Jesus said to him, "Tend or shepherd my sheep." And Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, are you my true friend?" Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, "Are you my true friend?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I am your true friend." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This Jesus said to show by what death Peter was to glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw following them, they must have been walking along the beach by this time, Peter turned and saw following them the disciple whom Jesus loved, who had lain close to his breast at the supper in the upper room, speaking about John, and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw John, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Amen, and may God bless to our hearts the reading of his word. Now will you open your Bibles with me at John's Gospel, chapter 21. Last Sunday morning we read and studied verses 1 to 14, a passage and a story full of instruction and encouragement in the matter of Christian life and Christian service. And we learned how Jesus took 7 of his disciples, we're not sure why only 7, and why 2 of them are not named. He took 7 of his disciples back to Galilee, away from Jerusalem, right up north to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He took them back to the place where they had first responded to the call of Jesus, "Follow me." And we felt last Sunday morning that it was always a good thing to be taken back to the beginning, back to where we first made a confession of faith, back to where we first made vows of church membership, back to the beginning, in order that we might consider, in the presence of God, to what extent we have been true to these vows that we made, to what extent in our Christian lives we have in fact followed Jesus and developed in our Christian lives and matured in our Christian characters. And we saw in the story, as we pondered these issues, how Jesus showed his disciples. They fished all night. Some of them were competent fishermen, and they didn't catch a thing. Jesus showed the disciples that both in terms of their natural gifts and capacities, and in terms of spiritual service, that apart from him, they could do nothing. And one of the emphases in our study last Sunday morning was to the effect that it is vital to see to it that we are in the will of God, doing what God wants us to do. That's the way to manage your weekly life. That's the way in which to order your priorities. Are you doing the will of God? And in seeking to do the will of God, it is so important to be walking closely with Jesus. And surely that is an emphasis that is valid and appropriate for a communion Sunday morning. The last scene in verses 1 to 14 is of that group of disciples sitting on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, having a meal together, a meal that was prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. They, as it were, sat at his table. And sitting there, eating together at that seaside table, the emphasis is upon the Lord's provision and the Lord's sustenance for his people and the Lord's desire to have fellowship with his people. And again, that's what communion is all about. The word communion has all to do with fellowship. And it means that God the Father and God the Son, by the Holy Spirit, God is desirous of your company and your friendship and your fellowship. And in order that you and I, sinners by nature, choice and practice, might come and share in that friendship, he died. He paid the price of our sins that we might be forgiven. And he broke the bread and he gave the wine. And when these simple symbolic elements are brought to you, in a sense, dare I put it like this, the message is, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, desires the pleasure of your company. He wants us. And he died that he might have us. And then after the meal, in the passage that we read as our scripture reading this morning, in the company of the six others, possibly walking along, I'm not sure whether they were still sitting around the fire or whether they, at some point, they got up and started walking along the beach, I don't know. But in the company of the six others, we have the story of the restoration of Peter. Now, Peter was a man who was full of personality. And if you feel you're full of personality, oh, be on your guard. It's terribly dangerous. Peter was full of personality, and he was a man who was full of potential. And if you think you've got a lot of potential, oh, be on your guard. These are dangerous capacities, personality and potential. And Peter had both in great measure. But like a wild horse, he had not really been broken in. He still lacked the control and the discipline that were to make his personality and his potential creative. You see, you can have personality and potential and waste the whole lot and never really be much use to anybody, even to yourself. That potential and that personality need to be brought under the discipline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't mistake me, I like Peter. I have a great sympathy for Peter. I worry sometimes that I'm too much like Peter in some ways. Think of Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he always did the wrong thing. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was so calm, what does Peter do? He starts a fight. In the courtyard of the high priest's house, what did he do? When he should have kept quiet, he spoke out and denied his Lord 3 times. And here in our passage, I'm quite sure reminding Peter of that. 3 times, Jesus asks the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And 3 times, Jesus gave to Peter a commission for service. Jesus didn't leave Peter with a challenge. Jesus said, no, Peter, you have work to do. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be ready for it? Are you going to be capable of being trusted with these, my sheep, my flock, who are precious to me? Peter, we are told the third, of course, I think others were listening. Peter was embarrassed. And I think we are told in the passage that the third time that Jesus asked him the question, Peter was grieved. And maybe it was in Peter's mind, what will the others be thinking? But that's not the point. What the others are thinking is not really important. It's what Jesus was thinking. And I find it quite amazing, and we say a little about this morning, I find it quite amazing when we get to verses 20 and 21. We find Peter's old nature still asserting itself. What about John? He's had lots of favors, and he was close by you in the upper. What's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, that's got nothing to do with you. Peter, you follow me. Remember, Jesus had taken them back to Galilee, back to the beginning, where they had first said, yes, Lord, we'll follow you. Does it still hold good? Think, first of all, of Peter's story. It's all very familiar, but it bears repeating. He was the kind of man who was always confident about his own spiritual standing. He never seems to have any doubts about his spirituality. He always was confident about his spiritual capacity, and he was always confident about his spiritual leadership. But then you see, I've been considering the story of Peter. And way back in the beginning of John's Gospel, you don't need to turn up the verses unless you want to, in chapter 1 of John's Gospel at verse 40, it reads, one of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. And Peter's brother brought Peter to Jesus. You see, this man who was so proud of his spirituality needed to be reminded that he didn't find his own way to Jesus. He was brought by Andrew, his brother. Now, I always wonder later on in the story just exactly what Andrew felt, because so often in the story you hear things, oh, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and Peter, James, and John. You could hardly blame Andrew, although he wouldn't do this. He was a humble man, was Andrew. You could imagine Andrew says, yes, but I brought him to Jesus. Didn't you see? Andrew was the kind of man who was always bringing people to Jesus. Remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? It was Andrew who brought the boy, wasn't it? Tell me this. Do you ever try to bring people to church? Have you ever done that? Your name's not Andrew. But then in these verses right at the beginning, Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, so you are Simon. Almost as if Jesus, oh, I've heard about you. See, Peter was the kind of man, everybody heard about Peter. So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Kephas, which means Peter. You are. You shall be. And some of you here this morning remember, and it's many years ago, the Sunday morning that my brother preached on that text. You are. That's one thing. And oh, how we need to learn what we are. You are. You shall be. Do you ever pause to think what Jesus could make you? What he could do with you? If you're willing. It took a long, long time before Peter was really willing. You are Simon. You're going to be Peter like a rock. An indication of purpose. Oh, I must hurry on. Way back in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, you find Jesus saying to these disciples, including Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you the kind of people who will bring others into God's kingdom. But then you see in the first half of John chapter 21, we have these men who couldn't even be fishers of fish. Have you caught anything? Not a thing. I will make you fishers of men. In John chapter 6, we find Peter again. Many began to go back from Jesus. It's a constant story. You must ask yourself whether you're one of the number who went back from following close after Jesus. And Jesus said to the disciples, do you also want to go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Oh, there were great gleams of possibility in Peter. In Matthew chapter 16, the story of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And this, oh, there's various answers. And Jesus said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? And without a moment's hesitation, it was Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, you're a man blessed by God. You didn't work that out for yourself. God has been pleased to open the eyes of your spiritual understanding. But you know, almost at once, being told that he had spiritual insight, it went to his head, and Peter became proud. And almost at once, when Jesus spoke about his coming death upon the cross, Peter got hold of Jesus and shook him and said, we won't allow it to happen. And Jesus said, get behind me, see. Do you see the danger of spiritual potential? There's an enemy. Do you remember the occasion when Jesus said, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. But I've prayed for you. And when you're restored, make it your business to strengthen your brothers and sisters in faith and discipleship. I go to Mark chapter 14. And I hear Peter there saying, Lord, though all of them, ah, you see, he was proud. He was, well, Lord, you and I understand each other, and you know how weak some of these disciples of yours are. Lord, there's a real possibility that they'll all come a cropper and run away and leave, but I won't. Do you devalue other Christians and think that they're not as spiritual or dependable or useful as you are? Peter was like that. And very shortly after, because a servant girl teased him. I don't know that she meant him any harm. She teased, "Oh, you're a Christian, aren't you?" "Oh, no, not me." Three times over, he denied his Lord. And then there came the cross and the resurrection and the restoration of Peter. And Peter and the company are back at the Sea of Galilee. And in the first half of chapter 21, Peter, still taking the lead, still impulsive. Personality, yes. Potential, yes. But they're needed the discipline. Simon, son of John, didn't call him Peter. Simon, remember the kind of man you were. Simon, you see, Jesus took Peter right back to the beginning. And when he said, "Simon, son of John," you think, you know, Simon, you haven't changed all that much. You're still highly regarded. You're still taking the lead. But Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Nobody seems to know just exactly what is meant by these. Was it the boat and the nets and the career? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Or was it Simon, son of John, do you regard yourself as loving me more than these others in the company? Do you still regard yourself as better, as a deeper Christian, as a more spiritual Christian? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Notice, not Simon, son of John, do you have faith? Not Simon, son of John, do you have understanding? Not Simon, son of John, are you sure you're born again? Or Simon, son of John, is your doctrine sound? It was Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What do you really feel about me? Simon, son of John, what is your heart with regard to me? And the word that Jesus used was the word agape, speaking of love as its highest and deepest and truest. The kind of love that suffers long and is kind and doesn't envy and is patient and endures and goes to any length to serve the loved one. That's what love is all about. And that's the word that Jesus used. Simon, son of John, do you love me with the kind of love that excludes self? The kind of love that, even if it is sacrificial, will desire and work for the best for the one who is loved, no matter the cost? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Simon Peter said, "Lord, you know that I'm your friend, I'm your real friend, Lord. I've got a real affection. Lord, I've got a real regard for you, Jesus." But But that's not the same as love. And Jesus accepted Peter at his level and said, feed my lambs. Make it your business to feed those who are young in age and young in discipleship. Let me ask the question. Who are you interested in? Who are the people to whom you give your time, your energy, your conversation? After services, do you seek out those you consider to be spiritually mature so that you can share fellowship with them? Pride. Or do you seek out those who are young in faith and young in years and lonely and struggling and finding it hard to be a faithful Christian? And do you forsake the pleasure of mutual congratulation, as it were, with your spiritual friends and minister to those who are in need? Feed my lamb. Do we talk to the people who make us feel good? Do we talk to the people who give us pleasure? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all these other things that would claim your interest and your time and your energy? And Simon said, Lord, I am your friend. Feed my lambs. A second time Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? No comparisons this time. Do you love me? This is the heart of all Christian service. It is love to the Lord Jesus Christ. I quoted last Sunday evening, I think it was, the ordination vows of a minister, questions a minister has to answer. And one of them is, are not zeal for the glory of God and love to the Lord Jesus Christ and a desire for the salvation of men and women your great motive and chief inducement to enter into the ministry? Love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe we need some of the old redemption hymns. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the pleasures of sin I resign. When did you last tell Jesus that you loved him? With this kind of love that makes you a willing, happy servant. It is love to the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us willing, that makes us perceptive, seeing the needs, and makes us persevering in spite of the cost and the disappointment. And Jesus used that same high, noble word for love. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Simon said, Lord, you know that I'm your friend. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Don't be the kind of man who they can look after themselves. They're being ministered to Sunday by Sunday. They can look after themselves. Feed my sheep. Be the kind of Christian who is willing to serve. I quoted earlier on Jesus' words. Remember when Jesus said, Simon, Satan wants to have you. Literally the words mean, Simon, Satan has got you for the asking. You see what that means? It means that Peter needed a real fright before he could be brought to his senses spiritually. Satan has desired to have you. I have prayed for you. And when you are brought back, strengthen your brethren. You know, Peter did learn. when he was writing his letter, which is still read in the Church of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 2, Peter speaks to the other elders and he says, tend or shepherd or feed the flock of God that is your charge, not by constraint but willingly, not for shameful gain but eagerly, not as domineering over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd comes, you'll get your reward. The third time. Oh, I would like to think that by now perhaps Jesus and Peter had walked a wee bit faster than the others. But I'm not sure. The third time, Simon, son of John, are you really my friend? And Peter was grieved. Grieved perhaps because Jesus seemed to come down to his level, from the higher, deeper level of love that is deeper than just feeling, the kind of love that is willing to surrender self. Oh, there's lots of things that with a bit of a struggle we can give up. But oh, to yield self. That's the ultimate challenge. Peter was grieved that Jesus asked him this the third time and came down to his level. And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know I'm your friend. Lord, you know everything. You know what I am. You know what I'm like. You know my potential for wasting my life. Lord, you know my lack of discipline. Lord, you know everything. And Jesus didn't say, well, Peter, I better get somebody else. He said, feed my sheep. And I would like to think that by the Holy Spirit at that precise moment, Peter's thoughts went right back to the beginning when Jesus said, and I think Jesus had a smile in his face, so you're Simon. Well, well. You're Simon. You're going to be Peter. You're going to be like a great, solid, stable rock in the shadow of which countless people will find shadow and shelter and find the way to salvation in Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, because Jesus is the kind of Jesus that he is, the possibilities are limitless. Even for the likes of you and me. But then you see, do you love him? Are you willing to yield your heart to him? I read away back in the beginning of Genesis this morning before I came to church the story of the marriage of Isaac and Rebecca. And Rebecca was asked the question, will you go with this man? And she said, yes. And I present to you the Lord Jesus Christ, who says yet again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Will you go with this man? This Communion Sunday, will it be a renewing of your vows that you made at the beginning? A new confession of faith, a new surrender to Jesus, saying, as it were, Jesus, I'm not up to much, but the Bible says that you died for sinners like me. Does it mean that you want me? I had to use my concordance yesterday to find the verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. My son, give me your heart. That's not the preacher saying it. That's the Savior whose body was broken and whose blood was shed. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. What will your life and my life be? Ordered according to your priorities and preferences and mine, or yielded without qualification to go with this man whose name is Jesus? I know what I want. Let's sing our communion hymn.